Next week, don't miss it. You don't want to miss it because we wrap up this series, Church, that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. We're going to put a nice little bow, and it's been a series all about what it means and what it looks like to be the Creek Church. Before we get to our content today, I do want to say this to our Williamsburg campus, to all those watching online, and to our Somerset campus. We are excited to have you. Our Somerset campus right now is experiencing Revolution Weekend, which you here in London get to experience that next week, which is an event for our students. And here's what I know. Over there in Somerset, there are exhausted adults who are making their morning, making it through their morning with all the coffee they can find. And then you've got students also who have pounded the caffeine and the sugar to get the energy going. So it's been a great weekend. We've got three people that made decisions this weekend in Somerset to follow Jesus, and that alone is worth celebrating. And then one decision to take a next step in baptism. So a lot to celebrate over there. But this series, it's been all about the behaviors for us as a church, the actions that we take in the world around us so that we can reach the world around us. And there are simple ideas that we've created to help us understand what it means to be the Creek, that it starts with we is greater than me, that we have unity around this one simple, profound truth when it comes to the good news. It's the foundation of our faith, and it is Jesus is risen, and he is king, and we serve him. Bridges are better than barriers for all of us, that we don't want to make it difficult in this church for people that are far from God to come and follow Jesus. So we're going to do everything we can to build bridges to people far from God, that everyone can reach someone, that we all have influence with someone, that we have the capacity to lean into and love in a way that we can direct them and point them to Jesus, that generosity changes lives, that generosity is not something we do, it's who we are, that as a church, we are generous people because God is a generous God. And then it's better to serve than to be served. That the best version of me, the best version of Nate, is the version that serves others, that serves those around me. And the best version of you is the one that serves others. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist if you've been around here long enough to know which one's left. We've got six core values, here's five. And today, we can't stay here. That God's desire for the church is growth. Growth inwardly and growth outwardly. That if we're doing what we should be doing, if we're accomplishing the mission and the vision of our church, that our church will expand and our church will grow. But if we choose to stay where we are, we will miss out on what God wants to do in us. If we stay where we are, if we keep doing the same things we've always done, we will miss out on what he wants to do in us and through us as a church. That we will never become who God wants us to become as a body. We will never do what God wants us to do as a body. And we never get to experience what God wants us to experience as a body of Christ if we stay where we are and as we are. We'll never know what hangs in the balance if we choose to stay here and now. That for us, we can't stay here means that we believe that there, wherever there may be, wherever God leads us to there, is better than here. That the price of our progress comes with change. And that burden to change and to move forward with the church, it brings about vision for our church. It bursts vision for our church. That no matter how much God has done in and through our church, in this community, in Somerset, in Williamsburg, he has even better things in store for us in the future. And that's my belief. That anytime we believe that the best is in the past, that we forfeit a better future. But there's a tension when it comes to we can't stay here. There's a tension that we all have to acknowledge and understand. That we can't stay here implies individual responsibility. That we requires a few me's. That me has to decide to become the best me that me can be. And it points us to this, that we can't stay here begins with me. And we can't stay here, it begins with you. So to help make it personal, as a church together. We're going to say this together. We can't stay here begins with me. That was sad. So we're going to do it again, all right? And this time, I know you're going to mean it. Because if we want to stay here, we're in trouble. But we can't stay here, it begins with me. So, we can't stay here begins with me. That was acceptable. We will move on. God's desire for me, Nathan Bryant Heron, that is my full given name. It is for me to grow, for me to develop and change into what God wants me to be, which according to the scriptures is like Jesus. If I stay as I am, if I stay where I am, if I keep doing the same things I've always done, I will miss out on what God wants to do in and through me. That I will never become what God wants me to become if I stay where I am currently. That I will never do what God wants me to do if I stay here. I will never experience what God wants me to experience if I stay here. Because staying where I am keeps me from taking me where God wants me to be. I will never know what hangs in the balance by my decision to stay where I am. And no matter how much God has done in my life and through my life, here's what I believe about my life, that He has better in store for me. And if I choose to believe that the best is in my past, I forfeit a better future for me. And as a result, I forfeit a better future for we. It's an understanding that the price of progress, the price of moving forward is change. And change is a dirty word. We don't like it. But the reality is we all experience change. We all experience it every single day. When you wake up tomorrow, you will be older than you were today. That's change. It's slow change, but it's there. For me, things hurt now that used to not hurt. Because I'm getting older. My body's changing. I'm changing. We all experience change in this life. And we've all experienced the voice that comes with change. Because it's a part of life. Say a new move to a new city. It's change. And a voice creeps in. Maybe it's a change in your job. A voice creeps in. For some of us, it's changes that take place in our church. For some, maybe there's an end of a relationship. Maybe someone in your close relationship has passed or left or moved. It's a change. For some of us in the room, we're waiting and expecting to be new moms and dads. Change is on the way. Specifically, your sleep patterns. For some of you, it's adding more children to the crazy. Change is on the way. For some, maybe it's a recent diagnosis in your life. You've experienced change. And with change, it brings a battle between two specific voices. And the first one is fear. Now, fear is a good thing to a certain extent. Fear keeps you from doing incredibly stupid things. We've all seen that person that was caught on Instagram or TikTok or by somebody's phone trying to pet bison in Yellowstone. You seen that? That person needed a little fear because they were stupid, okay? That's dumb. You shouldn't do that. So fear has its place. God gave it to us for a reason. But if we allow fear to take more ground than it should, it can paralyze us and keep us where we're at, keep us from moving forward to where God wants to take us. In 2015, I came to a place. I was serving at a church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I'd served there for several years, and I came to this place of just discontent as to where I was and where ministry was going and where we were headed as a church. And it wasn't the wrong place to head. It was just I felt like I was going just a little bit different direction than they were going. And I came to this conclusion that I can't stay here. I can't continue to push in this direction because I'm giving up what I think God wants me to do. I'm laying that aside, and I didn't feel like that's what I should do. That I believed that better was possible, but it was going to require me to ignore the voice of fear. So I did the only thing I knew to do. I started to pray. I took the next year to pray about what that meant, what it meant for me to not stay where I was. And I began to ask God what was next, and that's a dangerous question to ask God. Because he said, resign. And I said, what? So I kept praying. I kept praying about what I'd heard that day and what I'd thought that day and what that meant for me and my future and fear. It got louder. And then in September of 2016, in a car ride to visit some family, me and my wife, Elizabeth, we came to this conclusion that we can't stay here. That we can't continue where we're at. And she had some thoughts about what that might look like and where that might be and how that might feel. And I didn't like many of them. But we began to do something. We began to act on what we felt like God was calling us to do, which was to leave. And over the next 2 months for our family, things got crazy. I would resign from my job without another job. Yes. That sounds stupid. I know. I was there. I heard the voice of fear. He was there every day. Hey, what if you don't find a job? What if nobody will hire you? Which I guess is a real, you know, that's an option. It's out there. And we began to pack. If you want to feel crazy, have no job and have no place to go and start packing your house. But that's what we felt like we needed to do. That's what we felt like God was asking us to do, to trust him, to put big faith into him. And then in October of 2016, after four interviews with one church, we were offered a job at that one church. And that October, we would pack a van, we would load up kids, and we would move to Kentucky to serve in Somerset. Because we trusted God. Because we chose not to listen to the voice of fear. And I tell you that because I've got firsthand experience with the voice of fear. I've got firsthand experience of the doubt and what it can bring into your life. We left everything that was familiar for us. We left our first home together. We left our family. We left our friends. Both of us left jobs. And the question of what if? What if it doesn't work out rang out? What if you're wrong? What if you fail? What if you don't fit in? What if they don't like you? We were probably more concerned about me than Elizabeth. Everybody likes Elizabeth, but fear was loud. But there was another voice. It was the voice of faith. That we strongly, so strongly felt that God was calling us to do this. And we were trusting big. We were practicing big faith, as crazy as it felt at times, that God was going to do what only God could do. We were trusting that his time was right. We were trusting that he was clearly at work in all that was going on. And we were trusting that he would take care of the how it got done. Because there were lots of questions for us. Lots of questions of how is this going to work out. But here's what I know. I'm not the first to ever have to fight this battle. The battle between the voice of fear and the voice of faith. And you're not the first to have to face this battle. There was a group of people who found themselves enslaved. And in the Old Testament scriptures, a story of a group of people that God wanted to take out of slavery and give them their own land. And the nation of Israel, they found themselves in this season of transition and change. And fresh off their exit from Egypt, they would find themselves in a place called Kadesh Barnea. And they would find themselves looking into that land that God had promised them. And they would send in 12 spies. 10 would come back promoting a voice of fear. They're too big. We can't take the land. It's not ours. And two would come back with the voice of faith. God promised it. It's ours to take. And because the majority rules, or at least in that case, they would spend the next 40 years wandering in regret, looking back on what could have been if they had just trusted God. And Joshua, the understudy of Moses, he's now in a place of leadership because Moses is dead. And his time has come to lead these people into what's next for them. His time is now to realize that we can't stay here. And the voice of fear had to be loud. He wanted to go 40 years ago because he was one of the two that said we should listen to the voice of God. We should listen with a voice of faith. There were unanswered questions for Joshua. There was uncertainty in how it would all shake out, how God would handle this situation. But God, he would step in and he would bring encouragement to Joshua. He would remind him of his promises and he would remind him of his presence with him. He'd say, Joshua, remember Moses when he stood before Pharaoh? Who showed up? I did, yeah. Remember when you stood at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming after you? Who showed up, Joshua? Yeah, I did, Joshua. When you were hungry, who fed you? When you were thirsty, who gave you water from a rock? Yeah, I was there. I did. And God is calling Joshua here to remember. Move forward, but remember. And God gives Joshua a command. Be strong and courageous. And here's the troubling part of that. If you can command someone to do it, that means it's an option. As in, I get to choose whether to listen to the voice of fear, and I get to choose whether I'm going to listen to the voice of faith. There's an option for me there. He says, be strong and courageous. As in, don't let fear paralyze you. Don't let fear keep you where you are at. Don't let fear whisper into your ear that you can't, because I can. And that's all that matters. And Joshua, he would listen to that voice of faith again. And when we listen to the voice of faith, it gives us confidence, not in ourselves, not in what we can do for ourselves, but in what God can do. And the greater our confidence in what God can do, the greater our courage will be to do what God has asked us to do. So, what would you do if you absolutely knew that God was with you and was for you? What risk would you be willing to take if you knew God was with you and for you? What next step would you be willing to make if you knew that God was with you and for you? Because when God's with you, it brings about confidence. It brings about an assurance. It brings about peace that passes all understanding. And Joshua, he's there. He's confident. So he prepares a group of people for what's coming tomorrow. And you prepare for tomorrow by preparing today. He gets them ready for the future and what's to come. He gets them ready to move them from here to there, the there that God has for them. It says, the script text says, early the next morning, Joshua and the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, move out from your positions and follow them. Now, what we need to know is the Ark was the very presence of God with the people of Israel. That when they saw it, that was their picture of what God was, and that he was with them and for them. It was his presence on earth. And when we put God out in front, that's where God should be, out front. And when he's out front, we should be willing to follow him wherever he takes us. Wherever that ark would go, you should follow it. You should go. Whatever it's going to cost you to follow it, you should pay the price. You should follow it. You should go. If he leads you to a valley, he'll walk you through it. If he leads you to another sea, he'll let you cross it. We'll find that out in a minute. If he takes you to a place where you have to face a giant, he'll be the one that slays it. And if he brings you face to face with death itself, guess what? He's conquered that too. You can never go wrong by following God. It may be uncomfortable. It may feel unsafe, but it's always what's best. So for Israel, they were moving forward. They were moving forward to a place that they had never been before, because that's what happens when you follow God. He'll take you to places you've never been before. He will take you to uncharted territory so that your faith can grow. And in that, they would have to depend on God in order to get where they were going. To know the right way, they had to follow the one that knew the way. And Joshua, he begins to point these people toward tomorrow. And he tells the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. As in, get ready. Prepare what's inside. Prepare your heart. Get your heart ready. Today, that's what you need to do. You need to get your heart ready because the future starts today. Your tomorrow, it starts today. So get ready. He didn't tell them to sharpen their weapons. He didn't tell them to find their shields. He said, prepare your heart. He wanted them to take inventory on what was inside of them, on what they had inside of them, what was in their heart. He wanted them to check themselves. He wanted them in a position where he could do something amazing in them and through them. Because tomorrow, amazing things are going to happen. So for us, for them, if you're not dreaming, maybe you should dream a little. If you're not expecting God to do something, maybe you should start expecting God to do something. Because according to Joshua, tomorrow has a plan. Tomorrow God is going to make good on his promise. And for Israel, they've got an exodus behind them. They found freedom in the exodus. They have a Red Sea crossing behind them. They have a wilderness experience where God provided time and time again behind them. And Joshua, he directs them to look toward a future, because it's there where God will do his best work. And Joshua, he's telling these people, God's not done with you yet. And he's telling you, God's not done with you yet. God's not through with you yet. So you should prepare. You should expect. And he tells them that God is going to do something amazing in them and through them. Because God was about to do something where only God could get the credit. No one else was going to get the credit. When people saw what took place, they knew God was involved. In the morning, Joshua, he said to the priest, lift up the ark and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. Give this command to the priest who carry the ark of the covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. And as soon as their feet touch the water, The flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. Now, I know how rivers work, and that's not how they work. But Joshua is asking his people to trust God. And it teaches us many times God waits to step in until we have the faith to step out and trust. So the people, they left their camp to cross the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they went ahead of them, just like they were instructed. It was harvest season, and the Jordan banks were overflowing. But as soon as the feet of the priest who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above began backing up, as in the water stopped. This had to be an uncomfortable place to be, to trust God to do something I'd never seen done before. To walk to a river and step foot in a river and trust that God was going to do what he promised. But here's the thing about following God. It's rarely comfortable. Following God is rarely easy. It's rarely convenient in the moment to trust God and do what he's asked us to do. But the only thing we need to do to make these kind of things happen is to trust God, is to believe and take a step of faith in his direction. They had to be willing to go for it. They had to be willing to trust God above the voice of fear. And here's the thing, they weren't going on vacation. They were going to war. Fear was loud. There would be some that would go and not come home, because that's how war works. They had to be willing to fight. They even had to be willing to die for the promise that God wanted to work out in them and through them. But because of faith, because they listened to the voice of faith, they were one step closer to seeing that promise fulfilled. It says, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Now imagine this. Imagine this scene. One person's step of faith produced multiple steps of faith in other individuals. Wouldn't you hate to be that first priest that had to get in the water? I'd have chose the back end. When one operates in faith, it's contagious. And it affects, in this case, an entire nation. Oftentimes we misunderstand faith. We think it's this feeling inside. We think it's this experience. But faith isn't feeling something. Faith is doing something. When you trust God, it requires that you do something. And here's what we find out in the story. When you trust God, you'll have something to bring out of it. Because Joshua, in this story, he would invite the people, as those gentlemen, as the priest would stand in that river. He would invite them to go and grab a stone out of the river, off the riverbed, off a dry riverbed. And he would invite them to build a memorial, a place where they could remember what had happened. Because when you go through something, you should probably get something out of it. And for us, when we go through acts of faith, when we act in a way and do in a way that trusts God, we can take something out of it. So when you go through something, you should go back and you should get something out of it. Because in the future, you're going to need it. In the future, you're going to come back to this place or this thought or this memory, and you're going to need it. One day, there's going to be children, Joshua would say. A future where the children, they will ask, hey, what are these stones for? What do these stones mean? And it's an opportunity for you to remember. For you to remember for a future generation, for you to remember what God has done in your life, for you to remember what God has been faithful to in your life. Because remembering past victories, it fuels our future vision and our future trust. That their faith was bigger than them. For Israel, they might have not have known it then, but it was far bigger than them. And it's a lesson for the future. It's a lesson for us. Because crossing that river, it was more than just crossing a river. It was more than just fighting and taking a land in war. A future generation of faith was at stake. Your faith was at stake. Because it says he did this so that all the nations, that's the present ones and the ones that would follow, all the nations of the earth might know that God's hand is powerful. And so you might fear the Lord your God forever. For us, we never know what may be at stake in our battle between the voice of fear and the voice of faith. For Israel, they would settle in a land that God had promised them. Because God had selected that place as the place that the Savior of the world would be born. And because of their faith, we have the gospel. We have Jesus. And it's a reminder that your story, my story, it's bigger than me. Your story, it's bigger than you. That faith's not a personal thing. We like to make it personal. It's not personal. The stakes are high for the church. Our responsibility is to act in great faith. My next step of faith, it may be the catalyst for someone else's next step of faith. Your next step of faith may be the catalyst for someone else's next step of faith. My trust in God and what I'm willing to trust God with, it may be the catalyst for someone taking a step toward God. And for you, your trust in God, it may be the catalyst for someone taking a step in the direction of God. And I believe that's why I can't stay here. It's why you can't stay here. And it's why we can't stay here. So the question is, what's your Jordan River? What's standing between you and the tomorrow that God wants for you? There are going to be moments where it seems daunting. There are going to be moments where it's horrifying to think about. There are going to be moments where you are overwhelmed by fear. But what is that river for you? What's God telling you to do that you need to do? Where is it that you need to reject the voice of fear and lean in to the voice of faith? Because fear is saying, what if, what if, what if? And faith, it's saying, even if that happens, we can trust God. For some of you, this week, maybe it's a conversation you need to have with someone. Fear's telling you to avoid it. Faith's telling you to have it. You should have it. For some of you, maybe it's an act of radical generosity towards someone. Maybe that's your Jordan. For maybe a few of us, maybe today it's a step toward baptism. That you need to trust God by taking the next step of baptism. For some, maybe is your next step of faith is coming back next week. That's still a next step of faith. For some of us, there's a sin we have in our life and we need to walk away from it. We need to run away from it. Are you willing to lay that down and trust God with your future without it? For some, it's a relationship you have that you need to fix or mend or to get right. For some, you need to stop looking on what's going on outside of you and being so focused and upset about what's happening outside of you. And you need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and question what's going on inside of here. But you can't change those things, but you know what you can change? You. The only thing I have to control in this life is me. Am I going to let the outside circumstances dictate whether I change me or not? I hope not, because that just leaves me here, staying here. For some of you, it's finding a place to serve in the church, or finding a place to serve in your community. For some, maybe you need to begin to consistently give toward the local church. Someone in this room, you felt like you've been needing to share your faith with a coworker or a friend or a family member, and you've not done it yet because fear has crept in and it's told you, what if, what if, what if? You need an even if kind of faith. The reason you haven't taken that step is because you can't figure out the how. Just leave that to the one that asked you to go. Leave the how to God and go. Do what he's asking you to do. Fear has kept you where you are for far too long. Stop listening. Make a choice today to listen to the voice of faith. You won't regret it. Your next step may be uncomfortable. Your next step, it may be painful. Take it anyway. It may be an emotional thing to go through and walk through your next step. Take it anyway. It may not turn out the way you think it should, but it'll turn out just how God planned. Are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to trust God with our future? You may fail. It's an opportunity to learn. God's not worried about that. He's worried about us trusting him and following him. So, for you, you need to do what you need to do today. Whatever it is, whatever you hear that small, still voice saying to you, go today and do it. Take care of it. Trust in faith that God will work through it. And don't let fear rob you anymore. It's in the promises of God that compel us to take our next steps of faith. All of us must come to a place to believe that God's promises will be fulfilled. We have to trust. We have to have faith in them. And when we do, our faith grows. And when we trust his promises, we're willing to take big risk to accomplish what he's asked us to go to and to go do. So, let's let God's promises be bigger than our problems. And let's take our next step, whatever that next step is. So, as a church, I want us to stand. I want us to stand. Come on. Get up. Wake up. Because here's what we need. We can't stay here. We can't stay where we are. If we want to grow, we've got to move forward. If we stay as we are, we will miss out on what God wants to do in this church, for this community, for Somerset, for Williamsburg. If we stay here, we miss out on what he does. I'm not missing out. I won't stay here. We can't stay here. Are you willing to trust? Are you willing to surrender everything you have to follow the one that gave everything he had to save you? We can't stay here. Are you willing to stay as you are and miss out on what God wants to do in you and through you? And more importantly, what he wants to do in us as a church and through us as a church? Are you willing to sacrifice that because of fear? I hope not. I'm choosing faith. So, Father, today, whatever our step of faith is, give us the courage to walk to it and then to walk through it. Father, help us not to avoid. In fear of what you might be able to do because we're willing to face the adversity that stands in front of us. That you can do powerful things if we choose just to walk through it with you. And your promises is you won't leave us, you won't forsake us, and you will be there right by our side to see us to the other side. So Father, today, I pray that steps of faith would be taken and that we could trust that you're not done yet. We pray these things in Jesus' name.